On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, baseball continues to roll, men's basketball goes toe-to-toe with one of the best, and women's basketball prepares to send off the seniors. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 134 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And another busy week in Gamecock country. What's going on, y'all? It's funny, like there's just hardly ever a minute to breathe. I mean, we had sports left, sports right, sports middle, just fantastic. You know, there's that period in the fall when you have basketball cooking, you got maybe some playoff baseball cooking, and then football, of course. That's a great time of year. But for a college sports fan, right now is pretty darn fantastic as well. Men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball, and then, you know, I keep y'all up to date with some of the other sports like softball, equestrian, tennis. There is just so much going on. It is so much fun to keep track of. It's fantastic to be a Gamecock. Oh, let's get into it here. Got a lot to go over with y'all this episode. We're going to do a quick week in review and then dive into the major sports. There was a lot of action going on. So just one score to report here. This was from Wednesday. The softball team continues to roll, really. Beat Georgia Southern 3-0. Way to go. Fantastic start to the season right there. And then on the other side of that, let's jump into baseball. The guys had two midweek games this week, which is just fantastic. I mean, baseball season is really the best. I put it out there on Twitter. I totally forgot just how good these midweek games are. It's just the perfect excuse to put a fake meeting on your calendar and be unbothered for a couple of hours and watch some baseball. I mean, shoot, I even listened to it the other day. I couldn't get near a TV, was doing some work, threw it on the internet radio, and it was beautiful. Yeah. If any of my bosses are listening, I was doing work the whole time, I swear. But y'all, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself early in this season here, but I really like this South Carolina baseball team. Their offensive approach in the game so far has just been second to none. Not just with the home runs, but timely singles and doubles. Their base running has been heads up and smart and has allowed this team to manufacture runs on wild pitches and on some of these base hits as well. And then the pitching staff has just continued to flex their muscles and is showing how this can be a true strength and a foundation of a very, very good season for the Gamecocks. Which brings me to Tuesday, the Gamecocks beat Winthrop 19-3. And I mean, clearly, whatever was in that clubhouse from over the weekend stuck around as the Gamecocks put up another monster offensive effort here. Carolina scored a few throughout the game, tacking them on, but it was really huge efforts in the fifth and sixth innings that put this game away, including yet another grand slam, this time from Cole Messina. Just amazing, amazing afternoon at Founders Park. The freshman Eli Jerzenbeck got the start, getting a no decision, going four innings, allowing one earned run. And overall, you know, I liked what I saw out of him. He had a few freshman moments, but it's his first start in college. He was very well composed considering that. And, you know, you could tell why this coaching staff was high on him in the offseason. The second Eli Jones, came in relief and was the winning pitcher on record here. Some player highlights for y'all. Cole Messina, the aforementioned Cole Messina, going 3-for-5 with 4 RBI. Ethan Petrie going 3-for-4 with 4 RBI. And Evan Stone going 2-for-3 with 2 RBI. And then the guys turned around the next day and played another midweek game on Wednesday, this time getting a shutout against Queens with a final score of 12-0. And I mean, there's just no other way to say it. It's just letting the good times roll. Early this season in Founders Park, the guys started hot right away, scoring 2 runs in each of the first 3 innings to jump out 6-0. Things did cool off a bit. Both teams' pitching settled in. South Carolina was able to get a couple of guys on base here and there, but nothing really came of it. And it was funny sitting there up 6-0, and you're just like, oh, come on, guys, like, get it going here. It's like, you're up 6-0. And we've been so spoiled early in this year to expect that anytime a guy is on base, he should be heading home. But nevertheless, the 7th inning comes around and Carolina was able to hang a 6-piece, a 6-spot up, and that was the game. And I liked this game because I felt like it really showed a dynamic offense at work. Yes, Gavin Cassis hit a home run, but every other run scored came way other than a home run. So you had smart base running, which allowed guys to score on wild pitches. You had Caleb Denny with a beautiful piece of hitting with the bases loaded, clearing the bases on, I think it was a double. And then Messina tacked one on right there with the base knock, going the other way with it. So just smart hitting, situational hitting, and as much as we've enjoyed the home runs this year, it's also great to see that we're able to manufacture runs outside of that. James Hicks was the starter and got the win, going 5 innings, just allowing 2 hits. Very impressive outing by him, considering he pitched a couple of innings last weekend in the opening series. So you can really see that he is going to be a big piece for this team, whether it's a midweek starter or someone who could come in relief and pitch a couple of solid innings for the Gamecocks. Matthew Becker also came out of the bullpen and looked very good as well. Some player highlights from this game include Caleb Denny going 2-for-5 with 5 RBI, Gavin Cassis going 2-for-5 with 3 RBI, and Ethan Petrie, another nice day, going 2-for-3 with 1 RBI. And it's just really cool to see a whole bunch of different guys contributing in this pair of games, a couple of different guys getting big hits, not just leaning on one or two guys to carry the lineup. And I mean, really, this lower part of the lineup, right? Denny, Petrie, Stone, all had nice games in the midweek set. And that's what you look for in baseball, right? You don't want to be top heavy. How long can you extend your lineup to get hits? How deep is your lineup for guys you can rely on to get hits when it matters? So far in this early season for Carolina, it's quite a few guys, which is fantastic to see. Now, next up for Carolina is a weekend series at home against the University of Pennsylvania. The rotation this weekend is the same as last. Will Sanders is going on Friday. Noah Hall will be going on Saturday. And Jack Mahoney will be going on Sunday. And it's a little bit of a bizarre situation because Penn hasn't played anybody this season yet. Like, this is their first games of the season. So I don't know how that's possible. College baseball, just doing college baseball things, you would have assumed everyone starts on the same weekend, but evidently not. So we don't really know what Penn looks like this year. Now, everyone keeps saying, and everyone keeps telling me, that Penn is a pretty good team, and it'll be a much tougher challenge for Carolina, which I don't doubt based off of who we've played so far. And, like, I guess Penn did have a good year last year, really nice record, but I'm just going to have to take their word for it, I guess, that the University of Pennsylvania, an Ivy League school, has a solid baseball team and presents a tough challenge to the University of South Carolina, an SEC school. I'm just going to have to take y'all's word for it that I got to be nervous about this series, because frankly, I'm not. So we'll see how it goes. Just go do some math equations in the business building, guys. Get out of here. My crow to the series here is continued the balanced approach offensively. You know, I don't think we can expect the same numbers we did from the opening series, right? Averaging 16 runs or whatever it was. But if the guys keep swinging the bats the way that they are and keep getting guys on base and driving multiple runs in at a time, it's just going to be a long series for Penn. And I really do expect Founders Park to have some great energy as well. Very excited for that series there. So good luck, boys. Which brings me to men's basketball. Wednesday night, the men hosted the number 2 ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. And how should I phrase this? To say there is some scandal around the Alabama basketball program right now is a vast understatement. If you don't know what I'm referring to, just Google it. Look up what's going on with Alabama basketball. I don't have time to get into it right now. But nevertheless, the Tide came into Colonial Life with their full normal roster. And oh my, what a game this was. South Carolina came up just short, standing toe to toe with the Tide and eventually falling in overtime 78-76. This was just one hell of an effort from the Gamecocks team, y'all. I mean, really, one hell of an effort. They fought like hell to the bitter end. Gamecocks had a very strong first half. GG started off the game real hot, and the guys were able to have a 4-point lead going into the half with Michi Johnson hitting a half-court shot right at the end. So cool to see. Place went electric. And it's just funny because this game was a very far cry from the days of Carolina not being part of any lead changes. Do y'all remember that stretch of like 5 games where Carolina was not able to just even take a lead, let alone hold one? Very, very bizarre. But in the second half here, Bama was able to settle in. Shots started to fall, but the Gamecocks did not back down. Michi started cooking, and Jacoby was very solid all night. It's just a true back-and-forth game, right? I think it was even Lamont Paris saying it was just one of those, you know, tit-for-tat type of games. Alabama was able to get last-second shots at the end of regulation and overtime, which proved to be the difference. But I'm proud of this team, y'all. You know, I am proud. And the growth that this team has shown over the last 5 or 6 games, let's call it, it really is remarkable. And a lot of it is the eye test, but to me, it's almost night and day from where we were about a month ago. And that team a month ago was getting blown out. They looked to be on different pages. They seemed to not be playing with each other. And what I think we've seen now is Lamont Paris's system and his style of coaching and his teaching settling into some of these guys. I mean, if you look at our starting 5, right, you have, depending on who's in there, but you have Jacoby Wright and Josh Gray. Those are the only 2 guys on the starting 5 who have experience playing together. Not even in the same system, right? That's not like they're their second year in Lamont Paris. So you have Hayden Brown, Michi Johnson, GG, Josh Gray, and Jacoby Wright. Those 3 out of those 5 guys have never played together. all five of them have never played in the same system together. So I really just think it took time for things to settle in. Now, the team is still thin, don't have a particularly deep team, don't have a huge, you know, front court either outside of one or two guys. So, of course, there's missing pieces. But I think what we've seen over the last few games is this team looks better. And going into this year, that's what I wanted to see. I didn't have a number of wins I was hanging on Lamont Paris going into one year when the roster was gutted. I wanted an eye test. And over the last few games, I've seen that eye test, and it's passing for me. I saw it against Kentucky. It passed for me. And early in the year, against the team in the upstate, I saw it there. So I have faith that this thing will get going, and looking ahead to next year with some of these guys and having a core of guys playing together, I think will make a big difference. Next game for Carolina is 6 p.m. this Saturday night at Tennessee. The Vols are currently ranked 11th and are 20-8 overall, 9-6 in the SEC. Tennessee has a very good team, right? They've been very strong this year. They've cooled off as of late, but, you know, they're still widely considered to be a very strong team as we prepare to head into the postseason. My crow to the game here is just do whatever the hell you did Wednesday. Like, whatever you did against Alabama, bring it again, right? The defensive intensity needs to be maximum. The rebounding effort needs to be maximum. And we need contributions from this roster from top to bottom. You're on the road, going to be a raucous environment. Just bring that same intensity to this game. And you never know what can happen, right? The guys showed amazing fight and blew a lot of our expectations away against Alabama. Maybe they can do the same against Tennessee. That would be really fun. Which brings me to women's basketball. Now, funny enough, as I am recording this, the women are playing Tennessee. So a little back and forth there for Carolina. So sending nothing but good vibes to the ladies as they go against a very solid Tennessee Lady Vols team. But the next game for the women is their final game of the regular season and senior day, Sunday at noon, at home against Georgia. And I mean, what can you say about this group of seniors? I mean, really, like, they have done so much for this university, right? I mean, Zaya, Aaliyah, the list goes on. I mean, I think there's some wiggle room with maybe a couple of them. It may come back, but you kind of know who's ready to move on and go to the next level. But everything they've been through has just been incredible. I mean, to have that season that was cut short during COVID, where they were really rolling, looking to be that number one team, that was just a gut punch. To the heartbreak in the Final Four not too long ago, that was incredibly tough. And then to cap it off with a national championship last year. They have literally been through the ringer. They have done it all. They have once again just cemented their legacy, but also the legacy of University of South Carolina in women's college basketball right now. So all you seniors, thank y'all so much for everything you have done for USC. And hopefully you have a long postseason ahead of you guys. For this game, though, Georgia is currently 19-9 overall, 8-6 in the SEC. My crow to the game here is just enjoy the moment, right? I mean, it's senior day in front of the home crowd, probably going to be another sellout. And this home crowd is getting ready to send the ladies off to another big postseason with the greatest of possibilities very much within reach, right? So enjoy the moment. Have some fun, enjoy senior day, and let's go Cox. Let's go Cox all the way around. Big weekend. Big, busy weekend. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.